Genesis 33, Jacob. We have seen a couple things. Jacob, how God saved Jacob in chapter 28, how God subdued Jacob in chapter 29 and 30, how God stopped Jacob, chapter 31 and 32, and now we're on how God separated Jacob in chapters 33 and 34. And just going to start chapter number 33 this evening. And verses 1 to 16 is what we'll try to get through. Let's read that real quick. Genesis chapter number 33, verse number 1. And again, don't forget, Jacob had wrestled all night. The Lord changed Jacob that night. He left there having surrendered to God. And his walk would be different from this point on, literally and spiritually. And not that he was perfect. He's still going to make mistakes. And I think we all can understand that. We've all been there. And I've not been perfect since salvation. And I'm going to take a guess, neither of you. We still deal with this flesh. But Jacob is definitely a changed man. Verse 1, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. I'm going to pause there. That scared him to death. And it would have me too. Because the last thing he remembered, I'm going to kill you next time I see you. And he had sent some gifts, and he's still coming. So he's thinking he's dead. And keep reading. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in thy sight, in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee." I don't know if you ever noticed that right there. Remember what Esau stole? "Take thee, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it, and he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks are, and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the cattle be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and the seer." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. Jacob, how the Lord separated Jacob. He's back in the land. He is ready to confront Esau. Talked about this last week. I can almost see Jacob kind of a sigh of relief as the confrontation with Laban's over. As soon as he turns around, it hits him, or a messenger came, "Your brother's coming." Ugh. From one thing to another, right? And in his mind, to a more serious issue. And here comes Esau to kill him, he thought. So we're going to see here a couple things. First of all, how God separated Jacob. First of all, Jacob and his brother, verses 1 to 16, what we'll cover tonight, Lord willing. In verses 1 through 8, we see how Esau found Jacob. How Esau found Jacob. Esau's coming. He has 400 armed men with him. That would have been scary. But as he approaches, what does he find? And real quick, first of all, he finds a cautious Jacob. Verses 1 and 2. It says when Jacob lifted up his eyes, he sees Esau. He saw Esau. That's hard to say. And Esau's coming. With him, 400 men. He divided his children. And, you know, if it wasn't sort of humorous, it would be sad, I guess. But here comes Esau, and his thoughts, Esau's going to do what? Kill him. So he's like, all right, you know, we want to make sure some escape. So, handmaids and all your children, you're in the front. Right? And you can, like, see them, like, get in the front. You can see, in my mind, turn around, and Leah's like, yeah, I know. Right? I mean, sad, but right? And he, yeah, sure enough, yeah, Leah, you and your children are next. And then Rachel, you and Joseph stay in the back, right? Which I kind of think, here's Travis Burke's commentary, I think this is where their hatred of Joseph began. All this favoritism. Parents' favoritism will destroy a family. And that they were old enough now to take notice. You know, Joseph's in the back. But anyways, they see Esau, as he sees this, he sees everybody being separated, and they're being separated in these different groups. But you see a cautious Jacob, but praise the Lord, you also see a courageous Jacob. In verse number 3, courageous Jacob, and he, that's Jacob, passed over before them. So at least he didn't send the handmaids and the kids first, right? He went ahead of them. And he goes ahead of them. He goes to confront Esau and to speak to them. And I commend him in the fact that men, if anyone's ever going to harm our families, they should have to get through us first. And to every dad in the auditorium, be the man that your family needs you to be. The book of Mark talks about, in Mark chapter number 3, it talks about that the thief can't do anything to the home until the strong man has been bound. And your family's in a dangerous place when dad has been bound. And so dad, run to the Lord, get set free from those things, and be the man that God and your family need you to be. And I know that every family is going to be shaped different in different aspects and things, but in this case, in a lot of cases in auditorium, the man needs to step up and be that, and don't neglect that. The man should be the spiritual leader in the home. Amen? Now again, you say, well, that's not going to work in our family. That's fine, all right? There's cases of that in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, and it talks about that. Ladies, you be what you need to be then, all right? But if the man's in the home and he's saved, he needs to be that spiritual leader. So, you know, you say, well, my wife's more spiritual than me. Well, I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to have a Bible knowledge contest against my wife. She knows this book. But it doesn't negate the fact that I'm to be the spiritual leader in our home. And so men, step up to that and don't be cautious of that. And I commend Jacob. I think he kind of has come a long way. And he runs out to the front. So he sees a cautious Jacob, but he sees a courageous Jacob as he runs out to the front. But then you see a contrite Jacob at the end of verse number 3. It says, and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. As he approaches Esau, for the first time that Esau has ever seen, to our knowledge, he sees Jacob being humble. And men, if you're going to be the spiritual leader that you need to be, it's to be done in humility. Not in pride, not in arrogance, not in some, you know, I'm the leader of this home, you will follow me. It's humbly kneeling before the authority of the Lord and His Word, and in leading your family in that way. He comes and he's bowing down 7 times. And I think you know how this story ends. They are reconciled. I think it's important to note that this is the first time that we see this humility in his life towards his brother. And it's the first time that you're going to see them getting along. Both of them before that, this point, were filled with pride. And all contention is caused by pride. If you and your spouse are having arguments and fightings, pride's there. You say, yes, it's in his life. It's in both of your lives, right? If there's a bunch of contention between you and your boss at work, there's pride there. There's contention between you and another church member, there's pride there. So you don't know how prideful they are. I don't. But you know how prideful you are. And you can't handle you. And I see here a beautiful thing happen in these next few verses. Reconciliation. And the key to reconciliation is humility. Both men show humility. And it's really a beautiful thing to see how Esau found Jacob. Now I want you to see how Esau forgave Jacob. How in verses 4 to 7, he will forgive Jacob. Jacob's humility, I really think that, you know, I don't know that I can say this adamantly with Scripture, but the fact that he came with 400 armed men, which he did, something in me thinks that maybe Esau was either coming to kill Jacob, or while going, something began to change. Maybe the gifts that were sent in droves, remember those? Maybe when he looked across and he sees him bowing down 7 times and he thinks, that's not the Jacob I last saw. But something changed Esau. And as Esau sees Jacob coming, Jacob's humility disarmed Esau. And I've tried to apply that since studying and preparing for these messages, that a lot of times we get in contentious situations. A lot of times we get in situations where we're, you know, we be it with family, church members, whatever it is, and you can feel the tension. You been there? You might as well say yes. Right? Yeah, right? You've been there where, you know, you can, it's almost heavy in the room. And it's known that if one person says the wrong phrase, it's about to blow up. That's where they were. But humility disarmed it all. So I didn't cause the problem, but you can bring the solution. So, well, I'm right. Didn't say you weren't. But even in situations where there's a lot of tension and contention, humility will go a long way in keeping things Christ-honoring. Amen. It really is a beautiful thing that happens in verse number 4. I love this verse. And Esau ran to meet him. Isn't that awesome? Esau ran to meet him. Now again, my mind just wonders. Jacob's bowing down once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven. After that seventh time, he kind of stands back up, right? And Esau jumps off whatever he's riding, and he starts running towards him. What's going through Jacob's mind? Man, you know, my mind's like, all right, this is it, right? This is it. You know, Alex said when he was in his house, and all of a sudden the roof started falling apart and a tree came through, Alex said, I thought this is it, right? Is that what you thought? All right, yeah. This is how I'm going out. All right, yeah, all right. We always taught in the song, I'll fly away. Amen. This is it, right? And when Esau's coming, running, he ran, right? Jacob said, well, here it is. And when he approaches them, wouldn't you love to see this in slow motion? Wouldn't it make a great movie, right? I mean, Jacob's looking up after that seventh time, here comes Esau, and he's just like, oh no, right? And then he grabs him. You can see Jacob, and then he just kisses him. Yes, right? Such relief. And they embrace each other. And read the verse. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. I don't want you to just read a verse. I want you to take that in a second. That had to be one of the most glorious sights that you read about in the Old Testament. So these two brothers who have never gotten along since their birth. Right? I mean, at their birth. I can't explain all that, but at their birth. And here they are embracing. Whatever your situation is and wherever you are, whatever your contention is, whatever it is that you look at someone else and think, don't give up hope. God can. God can. Start with humility. The tears went down both of their faces. And this is where I had that exciting moment this week. Just looking over the message, refreshing it. I've been studying for 3 years on resentment. Esau, if you want the definition of resentful, that's Esau. He got through it. He overcame it. So how'd he do it? I don't have all the answers yet. It just thrilled my heart to find someone that did it. Because you're hard-pressed to find characters in the Bible that were truly resentful that ever got victory. They're just... resentfulness will destroy your life. I mean, I can name a lot of sins, and I can show you a lot of people that battled different sins, and I can show you where they got victory in so many different areas. But resentfulness is very difficult to find success stories in. Don't let yourself become resentful. Esau had been resentful. That's about as resentful as you can get. I hate him. Next time I see him, I will kill him. And he wasn't just saying that to be funny. He planned to kill him. And here they are weeping on each other's neck. I haven't figured it all out yet, but I did write this down, that the offender, Jacob, maybe you can think on this with me too, but the offender, Jacob, he's the one that, I mean, he was a little tricky in selling the soup for the birthright. He definitely was very deceptive in how he took the blessing. What do you see in his life in this passage of Scripture? Humility. Amen. I also wrote down this. Courage. It took guts to step out and go speak to him. I also see that he had a heart that he wanted to do right. Now, it took 20 years for God to change that, but he did. And he wanted to honor God. And he was willing to make restitution. Just in the fact that he sent all these gifts, and even when they came and Esau said, keep these things, what was his response? He said this, he said, no, take this, my blessing. I think terminology is really important. Because that's what he had taken from him. And he was giving back. The victim in this story, I believe, is Esau. What do you see him doing? He went to the one who offended him. He ran to him. He went to him. He chose to forgive him, which we talked about last Sunday morning. He chose to forgive him. He embraced him. And he received the restitution. I think that's important too. At first he was like, no, keep it. But you have to understand, especially in the customs of that day, when someone offered you a gift in this situation, to not receive it would be to push back against them. Receiving it was saying, I'm not just receiving this gift, but I'm receiving you. And he was letting him know, all is forgiven. And I don't have a full, maybe, definition yet, but I'm working on it. But I can tell you this, that neither one ever brought up the issue again. They would talk again. They would bury their dead. But I don't see them bringing up the issue again. And I think resentment was able to be overcome because there was humility on both people. It took courage on both halves, but they went to each other. One sought to be forgiven, the other chose to forgive. I think the embracing was a big deal. Jacob wanted to honor God, and Esau was willing to receive the restitution, and neither would bring it up again. Now do with that what you want to. But if you have some resentment in your life, wherever you fall in that, either the offender like Jacob was, or the victim like Esau, you need to apply wherever you are and act on that. Because I know this, God doesn't want you to stay resentful the rest of your life. So you see how Esau forgave Jacob. Number three, how Esau favored Jacob. Verses 8 through 11. How Esau favored Jacob. At first he refused the gift in verses 8 and 9. He said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. First, he refused the gift, but then he received the gift. Verse 10, Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, now if I now have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore have I seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. And thou wast pleased with me. He received the gift. Receiving the gift was an act of bringing this peace. And I love the fact, again, when he said, when I saw your face, it's like I seen the face of God. He wasn't in any way saying Esau was God, right? But the joy, how do we expect God to see us one day? I mean, you ever stopped and thought about that? One day we are going to look into the face of our Lord. What kind of look is he going to look at you with? I mean, Revelation talks a little bit about it, right? I mean, a bright, you know, the glory will fill the room. I mean, I'm not being blasphemous here in any way, right? But when we see God and we see that first, you know, you and God, and you look into the eyes of our Lord, do you think he's going to look at you with some mean old look on his face? I mean, there's no way, right? He's not going to be sitting there, you know, he's not going to stand up at the, and I'm not being sacrilegious, but he's not going to stand up at the throne and be like, yeah, Matthew, yeah. Or look at you like, yeah, you got in, but whew, right? No, when you see the face of the Lord, you know. Even though eyes not seen, right? But if I had to describe what I expect fully from the Word of God, I expect to look of love and compassion, adoration. He adores you. Acceptance, pity, smile. Joy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. Amen. I expect that face, and what a beautiful thing that's going to be. Amen. And that's what Esau says. That's the look he got. Jacob did from Esau. It's like I've seen the face of God. The joy that overcame Jacob when he looked up, because he's running at him, right? You can just hear the footsteps getting closer, closer, closer. And then he looks up and tears are going down his face and a smile and his arms opened up. I kind of picture that's what heaven's going to be, amen? Praise the Lord. It's like I saw the face of God, he said. And he says that thou wast pleased with me. There's a lot of emotion in this chapter. He said, I can't believe you're pleased with me. What a wonderful thing. Esau favored Jacob. And then number four, and we'll wrap this up, how Esau frightened Jacob. I don't think on purpose. First of all, he frightened him with his presence. Verses 12 to 14 says, and he said, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto them, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds are young with me. And he says, if we push them too hard, they'll all die. But Esau says, hey, let's go together. Let us go together. Jacob's response, I see your 400 armed men on their horses or camels or whatever they are. You know, all these flocks, and I have children, we can't keep up with you, and push them too hard and they'll die, which is a true statement. It was not false. But one of the issues was, while there was, the resentfulness was removed, still, and I want you to catch this, they were different. Jacob will refer to God several times in this chapter. Esau never. I think Esau showed that he was a pretty decent guy now. He obviously had matured a lot. Something had changed in his life. He'd forgiven. But even studying the New Testament, Esau, there was no fruit of any walk with God there at all. And Jacob said, we can't go together. Because even back then, there was this principle that you better be careful about who you yoke up to. And in the New Testament, we know that be not unequally yoked together. And that's talking about, obviously, marriage, but also in your friendships, your business ventures, you better be careful. I'd be very cautious. You as a safe person, starting a business with a lost person. I'm not saying not to work for someone. You starting something and you're yoking up, this is for life. Better be careful there. Because you're going to have two different directions. Just be careful about yoking up. Now, I don't have time to teach on all this, but if you're already married, God doesn't want you to divorce. There are scriptures on what to do. And if you want it to work, you have to follow the scriptures. can't just expect everything, well, this is the way I want it. Well, you got to do what the Bible says. So if you're a saved man with a lost wife, you need to treat her as the weaker vessel. You need to love her. You need to respect her and honor her. You need to love her as Christ. How did Christ woo you? His goodness, his gentleness, his long-suffering, his gifts. Win her heart. If you're a saved lady and your husband's not right, what does the Bible say for you to do? That you might win them with your conversation. 1 Peter chapter 3, right? Live right. Reverence him. Well, you don't deserve it. Well, the Bible never says to reverence him if he deserves it. Just don't. And it's a good thing, because probably none of us men would ever be reverenced, right? It's just, none of us deserve it. But reverence, submit. And there's all kinds of scriptures, not going to get into all that. But my point is this, you can't expect God to do anything else other than what His Word says. So follow His Word. And the Bible works on those things, but it frightened him. He said, I can't yoke up with you, His presence, and then lastly, His protection. Then Esau said, well, how about I leave some of these guys with you? Canaan land's not safe. They'll protect you. They'll watch over you. Verse number 15. Let me now leave with you some of the folk that are with me. And Jacob said, what needeth it? Here's what I love. Jacob said, all I want. All I want. Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. And, by the way, he did. That's what you see when they embrace. All the way back in chapter 32 and in verse number 5, when Jacob first starts sending over these gifts, he said, I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. He said, I don't need your guards. Don't need your protection. As long as I find grace in your sight. And he got it. There's a beautiful picture here of reconciliation taking place. He says, you go on to Mount Seir and read his words really careful until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. Some people say he tricked him there. I don't know that he tricked him. He didn't say, I'm falling right behind you. He just said, I'll come and see you. He didn't. You know, you have to add a little bit to the scripture to say, I'm right behind you. He didn't say that. He said, you go on until I come. I don't know if he ever went. I don't know, but I know that they met up together again. And I know this reconciliation lasted. And if anything tonight, what we can learn from this passage of scripture is that no matter what confrontation you have had with someone, you don't have to go on in resentfulness. Wherever you're at, in humility and a seeking to honor God and giving up your own demands, you can let go of that hurt. If there's contention going on right now between you and a spouse, or you and a loved one, you and a neighbor or coworker, it's pride. Now again, there's things that have to be worked through, and I get all that, but humility will go a long way. Humility can change your house and your home. Matter of fact, real quick before I close, all you brothers and sisters, boys and girls, look at me. Right? Ready, all you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds, look at me. You shouldn't be fighting with your siblings all the time. If you're constantly fighting with each other, you have a pride problem. you should ask God to forgive you. You say, they're just kids. Unchecked, it will lead to an anger life, an emotionally unstable life. So you should come tonight, boys and girls, and ask God to forgive you, and then go ask your sibling to forgive you. Amen. It'd be wrong if Joshua and Matthew were fighting tonight, and they're adults. If they get angry at each other and call each other names, we'd all be sitting there going, what is going on? Right? But we let our kids do it. Their problems started when they were kids. It's never checked. It led to a life of hurt and a lot of years wasted. Don't let resentfulness set up in your heart.